So this is Barry Adams and Mark Jide on Wednesday, January 31st, 2018, on the weekly fatherheart.tv webcast. Today we are actually going to be having just a bantering around some thoughts that have been swirling in the beginning. And I think that's kind of an appropriate place to start. Anything is in the beginning. But before we do, I'm just going to ask Mark if he would open in prayer, and then we'll start the actual discussion.
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your love for us. And Father, we just want to bring our hearts to a place of peace and quietness. Yeah. Maybe just in the middle of a busy day, maybe at the end of a busy day. We want our hearts to come to that place of peace and quiet and rest. And Father, we just want to just still ourselves like a weaned child and just allow you to speak to us. Father, we've really got no idea where we're going tonight, but we just trust that your Holy Spirit will lead us and that you would speak words of life and words of encouragement, that, Father, you would do our hearts good. We thank you, Father, for one another. We thank you for the sense of community and family that there is around the world. Mm. And we just bless you for that, Father. Mm. We thank you that we're all brothers and sisters. We may never have met each other, but we're brothers and sisters. And we just gather with you tonight, our Father, to hear what you want to say to us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. So, as we often do, Mark and I and John, when he's available, we have these flurry of texts that go back and forth about what are we going to do on the upcoming webcast. And I think it was, I don't know, maybe it was Monday or so-ish. I guess it was Monday. Must have been Monday. I'm lying on a cot facing the ocean with my darling wife on our holiday, and I get a text pops up from Mark about, you know, what are we thinking about, if I'm going to be actually present at the webcast or am I still going to be in holiday mode. But then we just started to discuss what we should talk about,
and I was praying, fasting, you know, while Barry was sitting on the beach. I was giving this really serious attention of what we could talk about tonight and where the life was, and, you know, he's on the beach.
Yeah, of course. As you do, and of course, you know, as you do. And but one of the things that, and Mark was just kind of tongue-in-cheek with it, I said, do you have any ideas? And so Mark said, well, why don't we talk about life in the universe, right? And he was just kind of being a little bit cheeky and having a little bit of fun. But it was funny because earlier in the day, and this is how I really think, this is how Papa actually works in our life, right? We, you know, oftentimes when we think about hearing God's voice, we have this kind of picture. And if you've ever seen the old Ten Commandments movie of Charlton Heston as Moses, and he goes up in the mountain, and then there's this thundering voice from heaven. God speaks to him, and sometimes we think that God—that's how God speaks—and and obviously He can speak that way, but typically, you know, oftentimes I find that He just speaks in, you know, my thoughts, my ponderings, you know. And so when Mark had said, "Well, why don't we talk about life in the universe?" kind of being funny, earlier that day on my holiday, I'm just not even, I'm not thinking about anything in particular. I'm not trying to think about the webcast, but I was just thinking about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and how the Holy Spirit was brooding upon the face of the deep. And I was just thinking about the beginnings and just kind of our origin. And so in that place, when Mark had said, well, why don't we talk about life in the universe? You know, I went to that scripture in that sense that I was just on my holiday, just pondering kind of the universe, I suppose, in some ways. So I said, yes, let's do that. Now, and of course, you know, he was, you know, we're not quite sure where that was going to go, but I think it's a good starting point, I think, you know, this year, you know, we mentioned for those who have been on the webcast that we wanted to really kind of revisit some of the foundational teachings of the fatherhood of God, because understanding that, you know, it's not, this life isn't about kind of, you know, checking off a box and saying, I've got that teaching, then I go to the next one. It is a continuum, right? And so we're in this place where, for me at least, I find that I'm revisiting many of the foundational teachings a lot, you know, in deeper levels of the different layers of the onion skin. And so, I don't know, I just think that when I was pondering this idea of in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the next place I went for in that pondering from Genesis 1:1 was actually in John 1. And so I'm just going to go there, and I just want to read John 1 as well, because I, not the whole chapter, so don't worry. But I just, again, it's tying in to our origins. It's tying in into kind of the beginning of all things, right? And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I even think of Genesis 1 where the first thing that God says is, let there be light. Right? And there's this sense of the light that shines in the darkness is really the Son of the Living God. And you know, when I was kind of pondering this whole idea, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, I started to think about this, that just the absolute power of sonship. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus, being the Word of God, is actually, you know, he comes from a place of being the Son of God, the Son of the Father, and God being Father, the Creator is what he does, but Father is who he is. And then that triggered me to go to Hebrews 1, where the writer of Hebrews says in verse 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And so I think that, like, for me, I don't know how Mark, any thoughts Mark would have on this, but for me, the kind of the seed that I'd like us to just kind of meditate on in the sense is how important, how vital, how centrist is sonship to our origins, to the origins of everything, you know, because in him, in Jesus, all things consist, right? And Jesus is the Son of the Living God. And he is the manifestation, and in times past, God spoke through prophets, but in the last days, he speaks through sons. And the reality is that even, you know, when we were born into the kingdom of God, that we were given the spirit of the Son that cries, Abba. And so I just thought I would just kind of put that out there and say, like, you know, I think, you know, oftentimes, you know, with any of this kind of revelation, or yeah, I've got that, tick the box, I got that revelation, but how central, even, you know, like, even the universe is in this idea of sonship. And of course, even in the beginnings of the humanity with Adam and Eve before they were even named, when God breathed into man the breath of life. It was a father giving life to a son. And that's our origin. So it's like this whole idea of sonship is so central to everything in the universe. Not only, that's why life in the universe kind of made sense to me. I thought, wow, like, you know, this is really, really a pretty vast topic. You know, like, well, I think it's going to take an eternity for us to unpack. But anyways, that was my opening thoughts about that.
Good on you. It's good. It's quite funny, isn't it? You know, we were sort of joking to each other, and then suddenly there's this sort of big revelation dawning on the beach in Mexico. But I really just, you know, we're on the same page with this, Barry and I, because sonship is so important, you know, and it's very easy for us to get sidetracked. And in the whole revelation of the Father is to get sidetracked into believing that it's only about our hearts being healed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of, and one of the things, and I know Barry will have seen this, but one of the things we see very often is people say to us, oh, you know, I had a revelation of the Father's love. He healed my heart. You know, I received a lot of inner healing, and now I'm carrying on with my life just as it was before, but I'm healed now, you see, because the Father's love has healed me. And I kind of think, when I hear that, I think, you've just missed the point. you've missed the whole point of what this is all about, because the whole point of receiving not just a revelation of the Father's love, but receiving the impartation of his love into our hearts is that we begin to live as Jesus lived, that we walk as Jesus walked. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that our heart will be healed up along the way. Because, of course, the Father will heal our hearts, because when we're walking in relationship with him, he wants us to be whole. He wants our heart to be touched. He wants our heart to be healed. He wants our heart to be restored. You know, of course he wants all of that. And of course, he will do all of that. Mm. But it's so easy to get stuck there and to get sidetracked into feeling it's all about my heart. But it is about my heart, but it's much more than just our heart being healed. It's our heart is healed in order to free us to live as sons and daughters. And, you know, John says in his letter, his first letter, is that we, you know, if we claim to be in love, we will walk as Jesus walked. You know, if we claim to be in love, he says it's not just a case of claiming to, you know, if we claim to be in love, it's not just that we say our heart's been healed. But if we claim to be living in love, then we will become like Jesus. Mm. You know, and that's something we see right through Paul's letters, is that Jesus is the firstborn among many, and we are sort of drawn into this. You know, we are in Christ. Mm. And, you know, one of the things I wrote in the booklet I've just done on comfort is, you know, if we are, you know, when we say that we are in Christ, what we're really saying is we are in love, we are living in love. We are held in love. We're embraced by love. And so, you know, the goal, if you like, or the point of this is that we walk as Jesus walked, is that we are sons and daughters like Jesus was a son. You know, and walking as Jesus walked is not doing what Jesus did. You know, if we had to do what Jesus did, you know, many of us would be stuck, because the first miracle Jesus did was turn water into wine. Well, you know, how many of us have done that? You know, I boast about the one miracle I have done, which is walking on water. You know, in Finland in January when it's frozen. But you see, walking as Jesus walked is not doing what Jesus did, because that would just put us into condemnation. But walking as Jesus walked is having the same heart as Jesus had. And it's to live in that expression of sonship. Barry's just referred to Hebrews chapter 1. And it just, in verse 5, you know, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? You know, or, you know, which of the angels did God say, I will be a father to you and you will be my son? See, now God doesn't say that to the angels, but he said it to us because we're sons and daughters. And, you know, I suppose what Barry and I want to do this evening is just encourage us and call us into our inheritance as sons and daughters. And, you know, as Barry's already said, this is a huge thing. And I don't even want to call it a topic, because a topic is something you grasp with your mind.
Yeah.
But this is a huge revelation for us to experience and live in every day.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Mark, I so appreciate what you're saying, because one of the things that I think probably most people on the webcast can bump into from time to time is this idea that the Father's love message, the Father heart message, is actually an emotional healing message. And it is that. Of course it is. And but when we limit it, when we put this box and we define it in a way that we actually make it like a topic, right? We do have it as a book in the bookshelf, so to speak, rather than being the bookshelf itself. And I think in a sense, the heartbeat of the Trinity flows out of relationship. And I think that's the thing that, you know, I think I was a tad overwhelmed with, I guess, when I think of the expanse of that and that relationship is motivated by love. Mm-hmm. So the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is, the Word of the Father is His Son, right? This is nothing mechanical. This is not, you know, something that's functional or operational. It's relational to the core. And the idea that the motivation even to create the heavens and the earth was a motivation of love. And I sometimes feel that what we talk about is so obvious in one sense that people can miss the profoundness of it with the, in a sense, the simplicity. Yeah, we're all God's sons and daughters. You know, what else do you have? But I don't know. I was just thinking about the, even in Colossians 1, where it talks about Jesus and how everything in the universe, every molecule is held together through His life. And it's the life of the Son. It's this relational dynamic that's within the Trinity that you and I are caught up in. And it's so very vital, and it's so very important, because God isn't looking for workers. He's not looking for an army. He's not looking for some kind of mechanical expression of His nature. He is looking for a manifestation of Himself, of His life, of His love, His very heart, which is found in Jesus. And of course, being Jesus, being the exact representation of His being, and the whole Christian life is about us being joined with Jesus, being one with Him, being, you know, I and them, Father, and you and me, this incredible invitation that each and every one of us has to actually be partakers of this amazing love that fills everything, right? And of course, Ephesians 3, that God would give us power to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high His love is, and that we might be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. I don't know. For me this week, it's just like, I'm going, whoa, that's pretty profound. That's pretty universe shaking, you know, stuff. And so I guess it's just kind of coming back to this, the simplicity of being in awe of of the Father's great love for us. You know, 1 John 3:1, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. And just understanding how important it is to stay there, right? Yeah. And how it actually, I believe that if we're seeing this as a one-sided thing, if we're seeing this as the Father pouring his love in, so I get healed, so then I can be a more effective whatever, and then it just becomes almost like, I don't know, we go to an ATM, you know, and we make a withdrawal and get what we need and we go on. But when we understand it, it's a relational two-way street where we become sons from our hearts as Jesus is a son. Like when Mark said, you know, that those who live in love will walk as Jesus walked, it goes beyond trying to imitate or copy a behavior. It becoming sons and daughters from our heart, and then understanding that the triune God is looking through our eyes. Wherever we go, he goes. And we are about his interests and his business, yeah? So anyway, I know we know all this, but it's amazing.
It's just good to sort of bat it around, isn't it? I was just thinking of Stephen Hill's book, his commentary on John's Gospel. He calls it John, a prophetic revelation. And he opens it up, and he calls chapter one, which is about chapter one of John's Gospel, he calls it a new Genesis, you know, a new beginning. And he quotes a Greek Orthodox bishop, a guy called Callistus Ware. And he says the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, is the fountain of the Godhead, the source, cause, or principle of origin for the other two persons. Mm. And then Stephen goes on to expand that, you know, he is also the source and the creator of us. You know, this is the new beginning, the new Genesis. Mm. And he has, Stephen Hill has this lovely little expression. He's talking about John the Baptist, where John the Apostle writes of John the Baptist and says that John the Baptist was not the true light, but he came to show who the true light was. And Stephen Hill says this. He says, John the Baptist is the last signpost on the road to the destination. Mm-hmm. No sensible person will stop at a road sign to admire the words which inform them of the destination to which they're traveling. Mm-hmm. No. They drive past the signpost until they arrive at the point of their destination. Mm. You know, you know, I just think that's so clear, really, that we've gone beyond the signpost. Mm. And we're driving to the destination. Mm. And that destination is what Jesus reveals. Jesus is the light. And, you know, I think we've said this before on the webcast, but when you go into a room that's dark and you turn the light on, you don't look at the light bulb. you look at the room that is revealed by the light bulb. Mm. And John is saying that John the Baptist is not the true light, but Jesus is the true light. And Jesus is the light that is revealing something. Mm. And what Jesus is revealing is the Father. Mm. And he's showing us that we can have this relationship with the Father. Yeah. You know, and it's like that kind of puts it in context for us that Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't draw attention to himself, but he focused on the Father. Because sonship comes out of knowing the Father. Mm. You know, if you don't know the Father, then you don't know that you're a son. Mm. But when you come to know who he is, then we begin to really, really understand who we really are. Yeah. You know, and I think going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, when people get stuck on the revelation being all about inner healing, they haven't fully seen the Father. Because when we fully see the Father, then we know who we are, because that's what reveals our sonship.
Absolutely. I think, and of course Jesus in his heart was to only be a manifestation of his Father, right? When he said in John 14:9, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus had no ambition, so to speak, to kind of bring a revelation apart from knowing his Father. In John 5:19-20, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. And one of the things that I still, you know, in this time of origins and kind of coming back to the very, very core of our DNA, why we were created, how we were created, you know, it was by love and for love that we were created. And we will only find our satisfaction, true satisfaction, I believe, in that place of the homecoming, of coming home to love. I mean, of course, that, what does that actually mean? And I think that's where, you know, we're talking about, it goes beyond, of course, our hearts get healed. Mm-hmm. But it becomes such a connection of hearts between us and the one who formed us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who chose us to be in his family before he created the world, that we are transformed into the image of Jesus, right? Who is the image of the Father, so that we are sons and daughters to the Father. Yeah. And I just think that it's, you know, one of the struggles still, I think that, and it's a continuum for all of us, I think, is the whole parental models that we've had, not only our fathers, but our mothers as well, because our fathers and our mothers were meant to be a foreshadow of the parental love that comes from the Father, the source of all love, because he loves us with a father's love and a mother's love. And I still think, there are parts, there may be remnants in our being that have been hurt by the parental love that we were meant to be loved and affirmed by. And so, again, it's the, you know, is God a safe person? Is he safe? Can I trust him? Will he leave me like one of my parents did? Will he hurt me? Will he judge me? And so I just think, you know, keeping the main thing is really, you know, kind of walking circumspectly with this idea too, that are there things in me, do I have misconceptions about God's nature that kind of, well, you know, Jesus is okay, he's saved, he's my Savior, Holy Spirit's okay because he's my teacher and my power, but a father, I had one of those and I don't want another one. And yet it's like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Gang, like, can you get it? Like, it's like I am a manifestation of love itself. Everything that Jesus did was an expression, the exact representation of the Father's being. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that, like you said, it's not a topic. It's just so beyond that. But it's just, you know, the allowing, just yielding to the affections of the Godhead in our own being, and understanding that, you know, I don't know how it all works, right, with all the molecules and DNA, and I think there's trillions of cells in our body, but every one of them are held together by love.
Yeah.
Does that sound weird, or?
It's good. I think, you know, we keep talking about this, you know, and saying, you know, this is not a topic, and, you know, it's so easy, isn't it, for us to think of these things like as being topics, but they're not topics, because topics are so limiting. This is a relationship we're talking about. It's a revelation that touches our hearts, it changes our hearts, and you know what, in Galatians, at the beginning of Galatians, Paul is writing, and he just says in chapter 1, verse 12, he says, you know, I didn't receive it from any man. I wasn't taught it, but I received it through a revelation from Jesus. Mm. You know, in Acts, when Paul is giving his the detail of his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he tells his listeners that that Jesus said to him that he would receive direct revelation from him, and that things that hadn't been revealed, that Jesus would reveal to Paul and Paul would reveal them to us. And, Paul starts off this letter to the Galatians by saying, I'm going to tell you something that I've received as a direct revelation from Jesus. And then, right in the middle of the letter in chapter 3, he says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's giving us that gift of sonship. Mm-hmm. When we are in Christ, we are sons of God. Mm-hmm. And the problem, John 1:12 says to all those who believe were given the right to become children of God. When we're born again, when we believe in him, we're given the right to become children of God. We're given the right to become sons and daughters. And the really sad thing is, many, many people, they don't take up that right. Mm. They go on living as slaves and orphans. They go on, living a life of performance and striving. And they don't receive the gift that is being given to them. Mm. And the gift that we've been given, Paul just summarizes it there in Galatians. In Christ, you are all sons of God through faith. And then in chapter 4, he says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And, that's the amazing thing. There is no way for us to understand how incredibly big and creative and everything else, is the Holy. We just cannot grasp the Holy Spirit in one sense, because you can't tie the Holy Spirit down. Mm. And it's like the moment you tie the Holy Spirit down, then I think he walks out the door. Mm. Because the Holy Spirit is not one to be tied down. Mm. But yet Paul tells us that this Holy Spirit comes into our hearts with the purpose of us being able to say, Abba. Mm. It's like, Romans 5:5 says, God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Mm. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, but I will send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, mm. who will be with you forever. And then the very next verse almost is, I will not leave you as orphans. Mm. See, I think the Holy Spirit's main role is to live in us and convince us from the inside out that we're sons and we're daughters. Yeah. The gifts and the life of the Spirit is wonderful and we need it more than ever. But, when we look at the sort of first principles, if you like, of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts to transform us into sons. And Ezekiel 36 says the same thing. I will, my Spirit, I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. All of that is great. But he ends up the verse by saying, and I will put my Spirit in you, mm. which will cause you, which will motivate you to walk in my ways. Yeah. See, most of us have tried. I mean, how many of us have tried so hard to try and get it right? Mm. Try and do the right thing, to try and discipline ourselves in the right way, to try and be good Christians. And, I can do it for a week. I can do it for 2 weeks. If I'm really being good, I can do it for a month. But ultimately, I trip myself over and it's like, ugh. And, I cannot make myself walk in his ways. I just become religious if I try. But Ezekiel looks ahead to this day. Ezekiel is seeing what we're living in. And he says, but the key is the Holy Spirit living in you yeah. will cause you to walk as Jesus walked, will cause you to live as Jesus lived. And, you know, we talk about being filled with the Spirit and we roll around the floor and we laugh and we have a lot of fun and all of that's great fun and we enjoy it. But actually, we need to be filled with the Spirit so to enable us to live as sons and daughters, because it's the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to cry, Abba.
Yeah, and I like how in Romans 8, when we Paul writes, he says that we have not been given a spirit that makes us a slave again to fear, but we've been given the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. And I just love the, when we think of it in that context, right, it's like the Spirit of God, His own heart, His very nature, is in us, and I think the bearing witness with our spirit. I think another description of that is giving corroborating evidence in court, right? So it's basically like saying, like He's a witness. He's saying, yes, I agree with that. You are God's heirs. You are His children, and so it's like. You just see this beautiful picture of the Trinity at work continually in our lives, right? We are joined with Jesus and the Spirit of God is in us as we are His temple, and He is saying, yes, this is who you really are. I testify that you are God's heir. And just this whole idea of, I think one of the things that when we talk about sonship, right, and when we go beyond a place where it's just about inner healing for us, which it is, right, it does heal us, but when we start to, or at least for me, when I've started to go to the place of, you know, not only is there this incredible revelation of me calling God Abba, you're my Father, and it's healing for me, it's affirming for me, it's comforting for me. But when I start to go to a place of what does it do to the heart of my Father for Him to hear His kids call Him Abba? Yeah. Yes. Like, what does it do to His heart? What joy does it bring to His heart when they're, you know, little kids come and just say, you're my Abba. You really are my Father. And I know for me as a grandparent now, it's still music to my ears. Our grandchildren are 1 and 3, and certainly it's our oldest granddaughter that she's using Grandpa a lot. You know, Grandpa, I need you. And when she says the word Grandpa, I don't know what it, for me, my heart skips a beat, and there's just such joy. And I think this whole idea that what we're talking about it and this the centrality of sonship, it's this reciprocal relationship that's going on. Not only are we blessed by the Father's love and Him pouring out His love into our hearts, but yet we respond with this Abba cry that says, you really are my Father. And then He goes, oh, I really believe. He just like, oh, I just love to hear that. You know, that's why it says in Hebrews that we can come into His presence boldly. Whenever in our time of need, it's like, you know, the angels are kind of, you know, they're bowing down and they're, you know, covering their eyes with their wings, and the 24 elders are bowing down. But God's kids, like, come on, guys. I enjoy being with you. And I think the more that we get in touch with the two-way street of the reciprocal nature of the love of God that's pouring into our hearts and we respond in kind, I go like, man, oh, man, it shakes our world, I think.
I was just looking at Ephesians 1, verse 4. You know, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us. Now, that means chosen. In love, He chose us. Mm. Many of our Bibles will then go on and say, for adoption as sons. And, you know, we haven't got time to unpack all of that tonight, but that's not really the best word. And, you know, a much better translation would be, He chose us to receive the full rights of sons, you know, in Christ Jesus. So, you know, you and I were chosen before the beginning of the world to receive the full rights of sons, the full rights of sonship. You know, that's kind of like the same as Jesus. you know, that's what's been given to us, you know, because we kind of think of adoption. It's like through our Western view, you know, we didn't belong to a family and somebody took pity on us and gave us a home. But a lot of adopted children never feel they belong in those families. You know, they always feel like an outsider. Even if they're treated like any other child in the family, they always feel like they don't belong. And we kind of, when we think of it in that sense, it's easy for us to think, well, do I really belong? Does the Father really notice me? Is he really interested in me and my life? But when we actually believe in our hearts that we've been given the full rights of sons, that's kind of a bit of a different picture.
Yeah.
I kind of like it better as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's true that in 1 John it says that his seed remains in us. And that Greek word for seed is sperma, right? So it's not like we weren't his kids and then he kind of, you know, like you said, brought us in, and but we always were never really comfortable. But we were born of him. When we were born into the kingdom, we were born with his nature, his spirit, his heart, his likeness. And yeah, I don't know if anybody, I just thought just to encourage people just to, just maybe to pray tonight, or in the morning or wherever you in the recorded webcast, just that the Father would just continue to expand our awareness of just his life and his goodness and his kindness and his compassion and his fathering and just how the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are just continually wooing us into this, the majesty of this incredible life, you know, because I don't know, I just think that if we're not still in awe with this, like, I don't want to ever lose this. I don't want to get to a place in my own life where I become so professional or so well-versed in this revelation that it becomes kind of like very predictable and very manageable. It's just like, I just want to be little and I just want to go, oh, wow, this is amazing, and stay there and just, so I don't know if anybody's up for that, for us to pray that, but I don't know. Would that make sense, mate, or what do you think?
That's good.
So I just want to encourage you guys. Like, are you? Jesus said, right? He said, "Fear that little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And would you be willing today just to open up your heart again, just like little kids do at Christmas and Easter and birthdays, that the Father, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And I just pray that yeah, there'd just be a fresh outpouring of his love. The vastness of the immeasurable vastness of his kindness. And that we would be in awe of that, and this journey of sonship would be more than just a one-time emotional encounter, but an ongoing 24-hour-a-day impartation of his affection. So, Father, we just want to open our hearts up, the eyes of our hearts, Lord, where this is lost even its luster and its awe. Father, would you just restore to us just the absolute awe and wonder of your love? And would you just expand our capacity to receive, to comprehend how deep and how wide and how long and how high your love is, and that your heart is, Father, by your Spirit in us, that we would be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Son of the Most High, and the exact representation of its being, and you came to bring us home, to reconcile us with your Father.
Yes.
To invite us to be sons and daughters from our hearts. Mm-hmm. So we just ask for a fresh outpouring and just a growing awareness of your presence right now. In him we live and move and have our being.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we're all sons through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We're no longer slaves, we're no longer orphans, but we're sons and daughters. Father, we can't grasp with our mind and our understanding what it means to walk as Jesus walked. It's just beyond us. But when we come at it with our heart, it's so simple. It's just having a heart to be a little child with a big dad. And Father, we just ask that you would quicken that within us. Father, just enable us to be a little child needing to be loved. We can have all our theology and all our theories, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, if we're in Christ, we're held in love, we're wrapped in love, and we just ask, Father, that you would go on pouring your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That we wouldn't try and work this out, we wouldn't try and rationalize it, but we would simply receive the gift of your love. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Nice to have Trevor and Linda back with us tonight.